The word here, patience, it's made up of two Greek words, long and anger. And the word anger has a meaning of glow, to glow or to flare up. When you put the two together, long and anger, it's to take a long time to be angry. That's the idea of patience. It takes you a long time to get angry because you're patient. Let your patience be lengthened out to long suffering when wronged by others without striking out, without retaliating.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the book of James, chapter 5.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
I'm gleaning the chapter here in verses. We've dealt with the first six verses, faith over finances we dealt with, and we looked at some of those that were evil people. Basically, he was addressing the church. So these were in the church as well. Not just outside the church, but they'd come in the church and maybe nominal Christians or carnal Christians. And he dealt with them in the first six verses. Now, I only want to deal with two verses, 7 and 8. And that's faith to endure the difficulty. Now, James, he was the pastor there in the church in Jerusalem. The pastor. He was martyred for his faith. He was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. Remember when Satan challenged Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple? And Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So they actually threw James off the pinnacle and then stoned him to make sure that he was dead. So he was martyred for his faith. And we find that that was done by his countrymen, by unbelieving Jews. They just hated him so much because he preached Christ. He didn't waver in that. For the resurrection in Christ, and you're a sinner, and you can only be saved through the blood of Christ and coming to Christ. People don't like to hear that. Now, he was also, we might recognize, the half-brother of Jesus. Same mother. Different fathers, God the Father or the Holy Spirit, being Jesus, born of a virgin. Joseph was James's father and Mary was his mother. So he was the half-brother of Jesus. He's called James the Just. Now, I don't know why he's called James the Just. I haven't looked that up. Maybe you can do that for some research and give me a little bit of information. I don't know. Maybe he was just one of those guys that was a stickler for accuracy. You know, James the Just. He just was, you know, right down the center. I mean, if he was driving his chariot through Jerusalem and the speed limit was 25, you know, he would be going 25. He wouldn't go 26. He would go 25. I'm just kind of tongue in cheek there. But the point is, he was just, you know, James the Just. I remember I was in a church. I was supposed to speak, and he was a good friend of mine, but they had a board meeting right in the middle of the service. I couldn't believe it. I mean, a long, boring, it was probably 20, 30-minute board meeting right in the middle of the service. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, going to distract the people. But I remember one of the board members, I forgot his name, but he was kind of like James the Just. And he was talking about his integrity and how he does things by the book. And he said, you know, if I go to a phone book, that's when they, or a phone booth, that's when they had the phone booths with the dial phones. And then, you know, you can put your dime in and make a call. He says, if I go to the phone booth and all of a sudden I click the clicker and I find that there's a dime in there, I will mail that dime back to the telephone company. And I thought, really? I usually just hit the clinger and see if more money will fall out, you know? I mean, I thought, boy, you are so just. James the Just. I don't know if that's why they named him that, James the Just, but a good man. Good man and martyred for the Lord. You see, the church in Jerusalem, it began mostly poor Jews, poor people. They were oppressed and they were persecuted by the rich and the powerful. But as the years went by, you can note that the rich and the poor, the masters and the slaves, the Jews and the Gentiles, they made up the church family at that time. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. God had broken down the barriers of prejudice between the races and between the people, the socioeconomic class and the masters and the slaves. And they had real faith. You see, but old habits die hard. And the rich, it seemed like the rich believers, they still maybe had their old habits. And you might say that they were carnal Christians, because that's what James addresses that first part too. He's not addressing it to the world. He's addressing it to the church. Oh, I'm sure it had implications for the world and those that came out of the world into the church, and they still brought in some of the old habits. And so James warns those who are rich, and yet they have a low view of the poor, and they bully them. Remember last time when we talked about that? But they were not walking in faith. Remember faith and finances? You know, that conquers over. You know, the money is not the main thing in a person's life. You see, wealth can bring a false sense of importance to a person. You've got it, the other person doesn't. So you feel like you've got it. You know, you're something. You're above. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:11, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. He becomes a respecter of persons. He sees people, the haves and the have-nots. And often you abuse those you consider that are below you, and you speak down on them. And that was one of the problems there in the first century church with those who had a lot coming into the church, and they weren't weaned off of that attitude, that bad attitude. So unlike Jesus. It was said of Jesus, we know you are partial to no one. And so then, well, let me just read it, and I'm not going to comment on it anymore because we did it last week, but here's what it was if you weren't here. James is saying, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and the rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasures. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which have been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned the poor to death, and the righteous man, he does not resist you. So those are the oppressors. And that's what James deals with first. And so now he goes from the oppressor to the oppressed, those that are being oppressed. And he tells them not to retaliate. That's verse 7 and 8. And that's what we're going to really camp on and we're going to look at. Not to retaliate for the injustices, because the Lord is coming back. The Lord is going to make everything right. I think sometimes we can forget about that in our time of trial. When it seems like society and it seems like our problems are just crushing us, caving in on us, we can feel that way. But he's saying the Lord, is coming back. And those who have taken advantage of you, you need to exercise faith and the power to endure. Endure under that hardship. And that's what James is laying out here, verse 7 and 8. He says, therefore, because of all those rich people that are taking advantage of the lesser and the poor, he says, therefore, be patient, brethren. Therefore, always looks back to what he has just said. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and latter rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. There's the encouragement, the coming of the Lord. So James, now he deals with Christians being exploited. Exploited by those in power who have the wealth. And usually those that do have the wealth, they have the power. Isn't it amazing how there are those politicians, they go into politics, they hardly have anything, and they come out of politics, and they're millionaires? Where'd you get that money serving the people? It doesn't make sense. But you see, they're in power, and they have the wealth here as James is dealing with them. You see, we're all to have patience in whatever we have to go through. And it seems as though when you're nice and they're nasty, when you're honorable and they're horrible, when you are taken advantage of, and the grace that you give others and they stab you in the back, he's saying, be patient. It's hard. It is hard to be patient at that point. I'm sure you've endured that. You've experienced that, maybe in your personal life. I know we all have in one regard or another. And in the church life, oh, yes. Because we want to be helpful. We want to be benevolent. I can remember when somebody came, they were down and out, and they said, you know, I want to turn my life around and work for God. They didn't have much. They came into the church, so we let them start cleaning areas. This is when we were downtown. And so as they were cleaning, they ripped off the church. One of the guys saw them put in their duffel bag something. They thought it was just their stuff, their clothes, but in reality, they were putting in their duffel bag our microphones, our security walkie-talkies, and some other stuff, and they ripped us off. You know, I thought, oh, brother, you know, you help somebody out like that, and they stab you in the back. There was another time. Now, this wasn't back-to-back, but another time when somebody in that area, they said, you know what? I have to move out of my house and I don't have a vacuum. Can you loan me your vacuum so I can get the security deposit back? I just have to vacuum the house. And so we did. We gave them the vacuum. They never brought it back. They stole it, you know. But we're just trying to be, good citizens, trying to show love. I can understand by unbelievers how they do that. You know, I get it. But when believers do that, that's when it really hurts. We had, and I was going to name them, but I won't name them. It was an agency, and we had paid them $2,000-something. And we were getting one of the, we were doing an outreach, and we were getting one of the bands over here. We gave them the money, and so the time was coming to bring the band over. So we called up the band. We said, did you get the tickets yet? Did they get you the tickets? They said, no, we haven't heard anything about it. And so we called the agency, kept calling them. This is a Christian agency, kept calling. They wouldn't answer. I said, you don't have the tickets? And they said, no. And so we finally had to buy more tickets for them. And finally we got them over there. And then I went back to the agency to try to get our money back. And they wouldn't give our money back. And I said to one, the fellow that was the head of Maranatha Music, I said, you know what they did? They did this. And the head of Maranatha Music didn't believe me. And I said, it happened. And then I mentioned to somebody else what they did. I mean, I wasn't just telling stories. I was just saying, you know, you got to watch out for them. And this other person said, yeah, they have emotional problems. And I thought, if you have emotional problems, if you have a problem with honesty, you shouldn't be in business. You shouldn't be in business because you're representing the Lord. And if you do that to an unbeliever, what do you think an unbeliever thinks about the Lord? Well, he did this to Christians, you know, and it's not good. But, you know, I was upset for a while, but you just realize, I look back on that and I go, you know, that's a sad situation for that person, because you're always going to reap what you sow. That's always, you know, that's always a biblical truth. You know, you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap unrighteousness. You're going to reap the flesh. Sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap, you know, spiritual things. And so you have to realize that. And so sometimes you will be taken advantage of. But really, there is a final judgment, as we found in the first six verses. And often that judgment is the actions that you do condemn the person. Read that. It doesn't say that God condemned them, but their actions actually condemn them, those first six verses there. And so judgment will come upon the frauds and the crooks and the deceivers, those who oppress the poor. That's the worst. Oppressing the poor who can't fight back for themselves, or even cheating their workers. Their workers have made them rich. That's what it says in those six verses. The workers. And then these high and mighty people, they're living a wanton life. They're living off the backs of others. And they're simply abusing the righteous, it says. You see, but we need patience when we encounter that. And that's what James is saying to those who are oppressed. Hard to do. But that's the power of faith that God gives to endure that. God will give that. He will allow that. I know I'm not there yet. And when I get ripped off and when things happen, often I kind of go into myself and I grieve in my spirit. You know, I might get mad, but I kind of grieve and I go, what did I do wrong? Why did I, you know, why did I allow this? Or why did I give this person room to do this to me or to the church and stuff? And so often I'll look at myself and find out, how I could change, or what I did wrong and the missteps I took. But you see, we need patience. The word here, patience, it's made up of two Greek words, long and anger. And the word anger has a meaning of glow, or to flare up. That's anger. When you put the two together, long and anger, it's to take a long time to be angry. That's the idea of patience. Takes you a long time to get angry because you're patient. In other words, let your patience be lengthened out to long suffering when wronged by others, without striking out, without retaliating. Because we want to, in our old nature, we want to strike out. There's an interesting metaphor, a metaphor for this word, for this Greek word. When anger rose up in a person, and here's the metaphor, the face would glow. That's where the term anger, and you have glow and flare up. So the face would glow and the nostrils would flare up. There's the metaphor. And the tip of the nose is the last to get red. And so it indicates a loss of patience when the tip of your nose is red. There's the loss of patience. So they would say the metaphor, you're long-nosed. You're long-nosed. It meant it took more time for the nose to redden, thus long patience. You had long patience because you're long-nosed. It took a long time for your nose to get red. Kind of an interesting metaphor when you think about it. But then we think of the nostrils flaring up. It's when a person's angry. You've probably seen that. What is that term you hear? What got your nose out of joint? No, you wonder where that came from. Your nose out of joint? Is that a flared nose? Well, James, he says real faith, it has patience to endure the abuse of others. James tells us, or not James, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. It says, when the patience of God, the same idea, the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. Oh boy, the patience of God. You see, that's what God gives us, his patience to endure these things. And so he's a good illustration. His patience waited in the days of Noah. Wait a minute, waited in the days of Noah. Yeah, God created man. He created. And then man left him. In the days of Noah, what happened in the days of Noah? Well, if you look at chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 5, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine God putting up with that? Can you imagine having a neighbor right next door whose thought and intent of you is only evil continually? Would you have patience with them enough to hope that, you know, maybe they would get saved? Well, that's what God is telling us to have. And Peter, if you go a little farther in 2 Peter 3, 9 and 15, it says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any perish, but for all to come to repentance. So when we think about long nose, we're actually thinking about long spirited. You've got a long patient spirit. You put up, you handle a lot of stuff. You don't lose heart in those things. Why? Because you're looking to the salvation, not only of yourself, but of that person that you're having to put up with. That's the idea. And you don't want to lose your reward there. You see, the faith of suffering saints, it's for long term. It's not just, well, I can have patience for right now for this situation, but, you know, don't push me too far. Wait a minute, that's you. That's the flesh. All of us are like that. You know, unbelievers are like that. Why is it that some non-believers have more patience than believers? You see, for believers, it's really long suffering. Suffering is long term. It's not short term. We're long sufferers with that patience that God has given us, and we don't give up.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study in the book of James, chapter 5. You can hear or watch this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. Take advantage of our vast media archive.
We really appreciate any word back from our listeners. If you'd like to reach us with a note, a comment, or even some financial support, you can do so online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com.
Now may the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather. We'll continue in James chapter 5. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.